happening Wednesday. It's either going to be Wednesday or maybe tomorrow for kids here in northern Worcester County. First day of class all set to begin. Teachers are in this week, starting getting the rooms ready, getting their game plans, their programs ready, for lesson plans ready for students. And then it's time for students to come in later in the week to begin those first few days of school. It's a far cry from the days when I was growing up during my formative years, because it seemed like for me back in the 60s, my first day of school in the school year was always after Labor Day. Kids are now going to school at the end of August, starting a brand new school year. But while kids are starting a brand new school year, there are also kids in high school, or what's called middle school, was junior high in my days, middle school, let's say 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, who are now looking at the future. Not only are they getting ready for high school, also wondering about college. And the big question for those who are thinking about college is getting into the college of their choice and the challenges they're going to face in getting ready for college in the future. And so with that in mind, we're pleased to be joined by Susan Tetsui DRC. Susan Tetsui DRC is the founder, director of a number of organizations, including the professional tutoring programs, RAC Day Camp, Merit Academy, Merit Educational Consultants. She has also put together a booklet, too, for students who are looking at college and looking for maybe like an edge for an upper hand to help them get into the college of their choice. Because nowadays, you can be a straight-A student, and still that may not be enough to get you into college. Sometimes you need to show that you're more than just a straight-A student, that you bring more to the table when you're looking to enter the college of your choice. And we're pleased to be joined by Susan Tetsui DRC. She is the author of Beat the College Admissions Game with Project Merit. Susan, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the airwaves of WPKZ Radio.
Thank you.
And let's start by learning all about Project Merit. Tell us about Project Merit.
Okay. Well, Project Merit is the ticket into selective colleges, because it gives students a chance to demonstrate how passionate they are, how innovative, and what strong leadership skills they have. So it's different from doing a project that you do in school or for any club like Eagle Scout or for your church, you know, where you're doing things for like Habitat. All of those projects are wonderful, but they're all controlled by somebody on top, right? You've got a supervisor, you've got somebody you've got to report to in order to get this rank or this award or this grade. And a project for Project Merit is a project that comes from your heart, something that really matters to you, and you have an idea. You think, well, there's something wrong with this. I don't like that. And instead of just thinking that, you actually do something. You start a nonprofit organization, you create a medical device, you create a fire prevention type device, you can write a book, you can do all kinds of things. But to take that idea and do something all the way until it's completed is a Project Merit. It just shows that you've got integrity and you've done something, and it's something that colleges really look to see how you're different from all the other kids who have 4.6 GPAs and perfect SAT scores.
Now, that's one thing that's changed when you look at grade point averages, because during our formative years, the goal was to try to be that straight-A student, which meant a 4.0 grade point average. Now it's 4.6. There was also the SATs, the ACTs, and there are some states where you have to take a state-required exam and pass that before you can graduate from high school, too. Every state is different in how they do that. But still, yeah. Even with that, you still need more, because back during our day, all we needed was the grade point average, the great test scores, and on occasion maybe help from some friends who had maybe a connection within the school to get you into the school. But you need more than that nowadays.
Yes. Well, for one thing, GPAs don't really mean much. I mean, they want you to have a strong GPA at your school, but there's some schools, as you know, you can work really hard, and you might have a teacher who just doesn't believe in giving A's. You know, he only gives A's to one or two kids in his career. You know, it's like, no, you didn't deserve an A, and you end up with a B+. And on other schools, I find, especially with either really high-ranking private schools, they'll often just give A's because they get so much pressure from their parents to give A's, and they make the teachers give the students retakes on exams if they don't do well. And for public schools, I've seen a lot of schools here in California, in Santa Cruz County, where you can get an A just by being a warm body in a seat in the class, just showing up to class. And they let the kids go out during lunch and take an exam together, you know, quote-unquote together, to work together. But, you know, you get one student who does really well, and the grades are all wonderful, and they all get straight A's. And you look at the student, and they're not going to succeed in any high-ranking college because they're not going to have the skills. So that's why colleges are looking at GPAs, and they look at what, you know, they look at the school report, the profile, to see what's going on at the school, how many AP classes they offer, where they live, what kind of demographics, and they kind of make decisions based on that, looking at the students' background. But then when you can offer something really exciting, like demonstrating your integrity by doing a project, and you can write about that in your college application essays and talk about it during your interviews, you stand out, and that's what you want to do. The students need to stand out amongst all the tens of thousands of competition they have out there.
Now let's talk about the fact that you want students to produce projects, show what you really have, what you want students to show, that they have a passion for what they want to do, that they're more than just goal-oriented. They need to show that they are able to do things. It's one thing to say you can talk the talk, but you've got to show, I guess in a sense, you can walk the walk too, as you're trying to make that trip to college.
Exactly. And by showing, but when you talk about passion, let me give you an example. Last year we had the Paradise fires and the Woolsey fires here in California. Our whole entire state was on fire. And we lost lots of property, only thousands of acres and structures, and people died. One of my students lived near the Paradise fire. And I asked him, I said, well, tell me about yourself. You know, I just wanted to get to know them. I helped them figure out, you know, I'm a college advisor, so I help students devise their projects and figure out what they need to do or what they want to do. And he told me he's worried that he's going to be the next victim to a fire, that he gets up in the middle of the night hearing crackles or wondering if that's a fire and smells things, and he started really getting paranoid. And so I picked up on that and just said, okay, well, it sounds to me like you need to figure out a way to stop forest fires. And he kind of shrugged his shoulders like, okay, yeah, how do we do that? And I just said, well, how do we do that? I'm not a scientist. You want to be an engineer. He wants to be a chemical engineer. And I said, well, what are we going to do? And we started brainstorming together, and he came up with the idea that if we created a balloon that had fire retardant chemicals inside of it and hung it below the power lines for PG&E or on the ground in the forest and lined certain areas to create a fire break, that if a spark or a flame came by and it sparked that balloon, it would pop open, it would spread like 100 feet, like a huge spray, and put out all the fires within 100 feet. And that would basically extinguish the fire, because that was his biggest concern. He says, I don't understand how a fire can go from a little spark to a little flame to a little bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden the next thing you know you've got a 2,000 or 20,000 acre fire that's going to take 2 months to put out. He says, why does it take so long? And this kid, he's 14 years old. He came up with a solution, and he's currently working with a chemical engineer. We have a whole staff of mentors that can work with the students on their projects. So he's working with a chemical engineer to figure out how to do this, and he's doing all the work himself, because I believe that once you let a student or you take away that power for a student by doing the project or telling them how to do it, they don't own it the way they do as if they built it, came up with the idea, and engineered it themselves. So that's what he's doing. He's in the process of doing that, and he's been invited to speak at TED, so he's going to be talking about his project, and trust me, he's going to get into pretty much any college he applies to. He's an incredible student, and he really is passionate about this, and he's so excited that even on weekends he just says, well, I'm worked on it. He sends me texting, I just finished this, and I finished this, and you're not going to believe it. This worked, but this didn't, you know, and he's going through that process. But that process is what colleges love. Stanford, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, all of the best colleges in the country are looking for kids that have that kind of initiative. And these kids don't get that initiative on their own. You know, you have to guide them, and that's where parents can really step in. They can really step in and talk to their kids and help them figure out what is important to them and fine-tune that idea and then encourage them to pursue it instead of, yeah, that'd be a great idea, somebody should fix that problem. It would be a great way for parents to support their kids.
As an observer from the East Coast, watching those fires in California on TV on the West Coast, and I still had the vision of the picture of people driving on the interstate highway and seeing fires, the flames erupting from both sides of the highway. And I'm looking at this and wondering, how in the world are people going to survive driving that highway? Because you look at that, you think, I guess, like the song Highway to Hell, like people are actually living and driving through that firsthand. This is like firsthand experience of seeing that. But at the same time, hearing about this teenager, what this teenager has done, and how people can learn from this, and how we as grown-ups can learn from this, is something that can help us in the future. And as you said, I'm sure a college is going to look at this and go, wow, this is the brainchild of this one kid, and they want him in their school. We're talking with Susan Tatsui D'Arcy. She is the founder of Project Merit, and she has a book out called Beat the College Admissions Game with Project Merit. We're talking about the various students and what they're doing, and what each student should do is come up with an idea, something that, again, as we mentioned, they're passionate about. It all starts with a dream, and getting that dream to come into fruition. There's an idea, you start building on the idea, and as you mentioned, parents can help, and also having a mentor can help. Maybe talking to your high school guidance counselor. These are people you turn to when that idea first strikes.
Absolutely. And take the idea, and if your mentor is not passionate, as passionate as you are, go find another one. I mean, you can go to any retirement community with all these incredible people who are professionals as engineers, as writers, as professors, and they've done it all. Well, you know, you've had professors, you've also had lawyers and doctors who are retired. They love to work with teens that have passion and have interest, and they can give them ideas. The retirees don't have to do anything. They're just guiding the students, and I find that those are the best mentors. We have a lot of mentors on our staff that are retirees that just love the idea of taking these kids and giving them a little boost and giving them a direction, and they go do that, and they come back the next week and say, okay, I did it, now what do I do? And they brainstorm about what the next step is, and they do things. And, of course, the kids will fail and make mistakes and fall and hit obstacles, but that's great fodder for your college application essays, you know, to say, whoops, made a mistake, and, boy, did I learn something from that. And there's so much value in education in making mistakes. And that's why I like the kids to start their projects in 8th or 9th grade, so they've got 3 or 4 years to complete them before they actually start the college application process.
And that's something that's very important, because when we're in school, we're being taught, we are programmed to pass, 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 pass. We're not really taught about making mistakes, because we feel like making a mistake is something wrong. Mistakes are like penalties that are going to cost us in the long run. It seems like we're taught not to make mistakes, taught not to see things go wrong, and if something goes wrong, we're programmed to believe that's the end of the world, or end of the world as we have known it. But the most important thing is to realize, okay, you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. It's you learn from the mistake, and you move on, you continue after learning from that mistake.
Exactly. And it's building on that knowledge. My uncle built, and he invented the imitation crab, and he owns 50 corporations. And he told me 46 of them were failures. 46 were failures. And he said 4 were successes. He says, but he was a failure until he became a success, and he would not be a success today had he not had 46 failures until he got to Imitation Crab and sold it for a ridiculous amount of money. You know, so he became successful because of his mistakes. And I had gone to him when I was in college just saying, oh, Uncle Frank, I made a mistake, and, you know, look what happened. And the first thing he said, he pulled out a binder and showed me all the things that were considered failures by even himself and other people. And he said, but every single one of these things I learned something from every single failure and mistake, and that is who I am today because of that. And that was just the best advice, and I give the same advice to all of my students. Just when they make mistakes or something comes up and there's a problem, they're able to look at that and just say, oh, okay, great, you know, I'm going to be like Uncle Frank, or I'm going to be, you know, it's okay to make a mistake. You know, and the other thing about not being perfect and always having good grades and everything that's a problem is we're making kids cautious. So they're cautious. They're not going to take any risks. They're not going to go outside the boundaries. And they're not going to think independently. They're going to say, well, what's going to be on that test? You know, and they ask the teacher, what's going to be on the test? I want to study that. I want to make sure I'm prepared, as opposed to just learning the material so that they actually can answer the questions. Because guess what? They know the material. You know, they're not going to study specific things because that's going to be on the test. They just study. And that's what we want. We want a student body of our formulating kids that enter high school every year to be able to think on their feet and move. You know, and imagine if every kid, okay, let me back this up. If there is 4 million kids that go into high school every year, and they all do projects, and they all looked at Brazil, and they look at the Amazon rainforest fires right now.
Yeah.
Do you think those 4 million kids can do something to stop that fire?
I think it's possible.
I do. Oh, yeah, I do.
Possible.
I completely, because I have kids who are doing things on their own. One student is making a huge difference. 4 million kids taking on different aspects of putting that fire out and keeping it out and making it a sustainable rainforest, considering 20% of our oxygen comes from there. My students are worried. I mean, when I talk to them and we talk about projects, they say, you know what, in 20 years, we might not be around. You know, well, I'm not sure what this whole college thing is about. And that just breaks my heart that they're in that position where they're actually thinking and hearing and seeing these things. So what I do is I just empower them. I just say, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? Let's do something. You know, what can we do? And who can you reach out to get money? And how can we work together and pull our resources to get to put those fires out?
That's a good point.
And that to me is that's what I love to do. I mean, I feel so fortunate to be able to be a college advisor working with teens every day, helping them come up with projects. We have so many things that need to be fixed here in the United States, but in the world. And these kids come away with really exciting projects. I've got a student who's doing a fracking project where she said, you know, I don't want to fight the oil companies because I'm afraid of them, but what I want to do is help all the American citizens who are living in areas near fracked wells, I want them to be able to purify their water so they don't die of cancer because of the 50 known carcinogens that are in their drinking water that the EPA says is okay to drink. And that's her project. You know, so these kids are doing really monumental things to help lots of people, and they feel good about it. So they become confident, and they become determined young citizens, something that we don't see a whole lot of.
And we're seeing kids that make a difference. We're talking with Susan Tatsui D'Arcy. She is the founder of Project Merit, and she's also written Beat the College Admissions Game with Project Merit. We're going to take a short break when we come back. More with Susan as the Monday Lunchbox continues on the K-Zone, 105.3 FM and AM 1280 WPKZ.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone.
12:23 in the Monday Lunchbox continues on the K-Zone, 105.3 FM and 1280 WPKC. I'm just in awe of the student that Susan Tatsui D'Arcy was telling us about, the student who's developed the materials in California to deal with fire. Susan, once again, is founder of Project Merit and the author of Beat the College Admissions Scheme. It's one thing to see a student come up with the projects, but there's a lot of work that goes into it. One, a lot of planning where kids have to work out their schedules at an early age. It's so unusual to see kids as young as 14, 13 years old having to come up with the idea to plan things out and working out have to work out schedules, have to work out budgets. That's something that you don't hear 14, 15-year-old kids doing, but this is what they're doing.
Yes. That's the new college admissions process, because kids need to start. They can't just do something like, you know, start a club in 11th grade, which is what they used to do. It doesn't work anymore. Colleges see right through that. They want to see that you've got a passion, that you've done something for a period of time. And that's why I like to start kids in 8th grade, where they can think about it while they're in middle school and come up with an idea and then trash the idea and say, I'm not interested in that, or that doesn't work, or somebody else is doing it. And that way they can find their own voice and figure out what's important to them. And sometimes that takes 3, 6, 12 months to find. You know, we just go through different processes to find something that is meaningful to them. But once they start it and they get going, then what I do, we have a merit planner. It's like an adult appointment book, and it starts at 6 o'clock in the morning and goes till midnight. And they put in all of their classes and their homework and their sports or whatever else they're doing after school. And then they put their project over that after they get all their homework and everything else in there. And you only need about 2 to 3 hours a week to do a project. It's not like football where you need 15 hours. You know, it's just not a huge time suck. It's really something that kids can manage, and some kids even do two projects. So they've got a couple things going on. What I usually tell parents is that you don't really want your kid to be involved in 10, 15 clubs, because the colleges know that your kid's not interested in 10 or 15 things. You might want them to be involved in maybe one or two clubs, and for sports, not three sports, maybe one, only if they really care about it. Because the only time it really matters for band and sports is if they are the MVP, if they are number one in the nation. And there's only one of those, and there's a really good chance that you can be aiming for, you know, that bright MVP status, but then you get hurt, and you never get to reach that, and you spend, you know, 8 years of your life preparing for something that you might never, ever realize. Whereas in a project, you are the CEO and founder, the author, the patent holder, 100% from day one all the way till the end. There's nobody that can take it away from you. So it gives you the chance to be in the limelight because you've created it for yourself. But then again, you get the responsibilities. You've got to do everything. You know, so that's where we use a merit planner to help the kids organize. So I monitor the students to make sure they're not overwhelmed. And we talk about, you know, maybe letting go of that sport. And, you know, when there's 80,000 kids playing high school sports, you're not going to stand out. And a lot of kids want to do sports all the way through 12th grade. And I'll just say, unless you really love it, don't do it because you think that's going to get you into college, because it's not.
And another thing about what you say about having the merit planner going from 6 to midnight, that means that there's time for you to get sleep and hopefully a time for a kid to be a kid, too, to have some fun in life.
Exactly. And I actually block that off. I'll just say on Saturday morning from, you know, whatever time you wake up at 9 o'clock all the way to 2 o'clock, put a line through your planner. You're not going to do anything. No homework, no project, nothing. Go hang out with your friends. Saturday night, have a sleepover. So we actually block off time to have fun, because in the kids' busy, busy lives, and parents often overschedule their kids with so many after-school activities where they're racing around town and then all the traffic and it takes forever to get everywhere, the kids aren't able to sit back and just relax. And then when they do, they're not relaxing. They're playing video games, which is not relaxing. You know, they're just constantly doing one project or one activity or another. And that's why with the planner, it's kind of nice because we block it off. And I have the kids meet with their parents once a week, you know, for a family meeting. With everybody gets the planner. So they all sit around with their merit planners, and they go through the days and say, who's driving, who's picking up. We have dinner here. Grandma's coming into town. We've got a birthday party. Who's buying the gift? You know, all of those decisions are made in the family meeting in 1 hour, and they block off family time. So they have dinner time. They have family time, and they also have time for each kid to have their own space.
There's so much here to go through. I never realized how much there was to go through in looking at this, but unfortunately, time is in on us, and we only have maybe like 2 or 3 minutes left to go. But very quickly, some things about the work that's being done. Number one, work continues, and this has to be completed by the time they finish high school. Not to mention, in the book, you mentioned there are other things that happen eventually, maybe putting out flyers, meeting with the press, letting the world know about what you've done, what you've accomplished, and even more important, making sure that this work continues after you've gone to college, too. So the work is like a living, breathing document of your accomplishments.
Absolutely. And when colleges check on you, when you apply to colleges, they go and see your website and they see, or the newspaper articles that have been written about you, or the radio shows you've been interviewed on, you are validated. They understand that you've done this, you look great, and they can actually hear it. And it's not part of that college admission scandal where it's all a lie. They get to see the true student. And that's why these kids that I work with get into college. And that's why I wrote this book, because, you know, working with a college advisor is not cheap. And I want the kids to have, I want all kids to have this opportunity. So for less than $10, the students can read this book and figure out all the different steps that they need to do a project and understand the short, you know, the faults that they may make and obstacles they may hit, and just be able to overcome it, and finding mentors. All of that's in the book, and it's for $10. So it really does even out the playing field for all kids.
Susan Tatsui DRC is the founder of Project Merit and also the author of Beat the College Admissions Game. And look for more. Always go to Project Merit, or actually go to meritworld.com to find out more. That's meritworld.com. Susan, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And this is great reading. It really is.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us.